It's probably never a good idea to disagree with Branford Marcellus. You will always lose that argument with the polemical thinker and virtuoso instrumentalist. However, when we were backstage at the Bucharest Jazz Festival, I pressed the sax star with the singer Kurt Elling to define for us what qualifies as a good melody. And things get a little interesting. Right before they went on stage with Corey Fonville drums, Joey Calderazzo piano, and Eric Rivas bass to perform an electric, incredible set in front of 10,000 standing, cheering Romanian fans, we spoke about their new recording, Upward Spiral. It's an album that covers songs from all over the place, from the pop star Sting to an obscure tune written by the Americana singer-songwriter Chris Whitley, to this song. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with this, Blue Gardenia, written by Bob Russell and Lester Lee in 1953. Let's listen to it before we get into our conversation with Branford Marcellus and Kurt Elling.
And I am also blue. She has tossed us aside. And like you, gardenia, once I was near her heart. After the teardrops start, where are teardrops to hide? I lived for an hour. What more can I tell? Like a flower, then the petals fell.
Thank you for joining us and talking about Upward Spiral. And this is a joint project between two veteran artists that are coming together and picking some songs, some of which are pretty easy to find. Others are a little bit more obscure. And we're going to begin with something I think we're both familiar with. Take your pick. Is it Dinah Washington or Nat King Cole's Blue Gardenia that is so
Nat King Cole.
That was the pick.
All right.
Or was that rhetorical?
Blue Gardenia. Now I'm alone with you. And I'm also blue.
Kurt, you implied that you had significant conversations, maybe of philosophical nature, with Branford Marcellus before you guys linked up. You come from a Lutheran sort of studying religion background, and I can only imagine that you both were pontificating about all kinds of things initially, but what was it about the way you guys saw life or art that you knew you guys could work together?
Man, I think before we played together and before we got together to work on the record, a lot of the conversations were unspoken. I think that they were instantaneous, and I feel like there was just a very organic connection. We have ideals about music that I think are complementary. And the things that we value are very similar. And that means that we could cut to a...
Like melody? Like what he said? Like on the more
like
specific...
melody, like bringing a whole lot of emotion from, through, to, reverberating the emotion, broadcasting the emotion through the music with as much depth and genuine feeling as possible, and loving jazz music in its most beautiful and exquisite form, and wanting to be jazz players in the truest way that we can.
From one island to
Let's go into the song selection itself, because the repertoire picked for this record is so varied and interesting. For instance, the bassist Eric Rivas brought to the table From One Island to Another. Chris Whitley, is it Whitley? I'm not even sure.
Whitley.
Chris Whitley,
yeah.
Kind of a singer-songwriter that writes in various tunings on guitar. And actually, let's listen to a little bit of the original, just so you can hear what this song is, and then we can get into what you guys do with it.
Nighttime desire, she walks alone, skips a stone from one island to another.
Died at the age of 45 from lung cancer, I believe, and didn't necessarily get his due. Were you familiar with this song before Eric Rivas introduced it to you guys?
No.
Not at all.
But a good song's a good song. And you just have to figure out how to... I played in an R&B band, and I had to arrange all the songs for the band, and you start thinking about what works and what doesn't work. And, you know, writing out, so I used to write out weather report songs in a Filofax back in the old days. We had this little book with music paper. It was a little book with your address book and all these to-dos in it. Remember those things, mm-hmm. The Filofax? And they had music paper. So I would sit on planes and just transcribe song forms.
And that's what you did to Blue Gardenia and at Berklee College of Music.
Yeah, well, I wasn't at Berklee. I did Blue Gardenia probably 10 years before we actually did this record. I did a lot of the weather report stuff at Berklee College of Music, too. And the question was always, without all of the accoutrements, you know, the electronic instruments and all this, how do you make these songs work? So I got used to the idea of editing songs, and Chris would play kind of the same changes, but never the exact same changes whenever he would do his guitar solos. So I wrote out both sets, or I learned both sets of changes and figured out what the common notes were and eliminated the stuff that was just extraneous, like spur of the moment things, and came up with a form. And the solo chords are just... I told Joey, here's the drone, play the chords. And whatever he plays, that's what we'll solo over. So those were the chords he played, and that's what it became.
So what have I to give her? Stars shine, waves whisper, the constellations, conversations. One island to another.
Mm-hmm. Kurt, what were some of the songs that you initially brought to the table that Branford here wasn't so happy with or wasn't feeling? Because I understand that was a little bit of a process.
Well, it was a process because I, you know, all the instantaneous stuff that we spoke of earlier doesn't necessarily translate to the specifics of compositional choices. And that is a conversation that you have to articulate to one another. And it took me some time, and it continues to occasionally perplex, but more often to creatively challenge me to try to understand, to try to hear what it is that Branford's hearing in certain things that he chooses, that he likes about melody. It's one thing to say, here's a good melody, but sometimes we'll disagree on what's a good melody. There were a couple things.
It's so subjective, right?
Well, it's not.
It's not all, it's subjective-ish. it's more objective than it is subjective-ish, because you can, because goodness, what do you want to say?
Well, take us to a debate.
Brings its own
something
evidence.
That you might think is a good melody that Branford doesn't.
What was on that list?
I mean, a lot of people say that it's subjective, which is a default position to defend their argument. You know, it's like they want to shut down the argument, and they say it's subjective. And I say, well, no, it's really not. It's not subjective.
Well, how about this? I'll go out on a limb and say that I don't understand the greatness in the of the melody in Practical Arrangement, personally.
That's fine.
Am I asking for the moon? Is it really so implausible that you and I could soon come to some kind of arrangement?
So tell me what I'm missing with that Sting composition, because when I listened to it, I was not feeling it.
Most jazz people tend to listen to songs harmonically now. We're in this harmony thing, post-Coltrane. Everything is harmony, harmony, harmony. Guys playing the changes, playing the changes. Songs that are usually harmonically advanced have absolutely god-awful melodies. What the composer Darius Milhaud said, the hardest thing to do in music is to write a melody that is so infectious that everybody wants to put it in their pocket and take it home with them. Yardbird Suite doesn't fit in that category. Nobody wants to take that home, except some jazz musicians. So it took me a long time. I grew up listening to popular music and songs with great melodies. And then I started learning how to play jazz, and there's a lot of great classical music with great melodies. So a lot of times, the understanding of melody is subject to how much music you have listened to and what you listen to. And oftentimes, which you have not listened to. That's why it's so hard to have that conversation. That's why politics is so different. You know, because in all countries, people have an emotional relationship with politics, oftentimes not coupled with any kind of intellectual understanding of what they're talking about. And when they feel they're on the losing end of the argument, they tend to want to get into fights, because they have this thing they believe and they need to believe, and it's not really based on any concrete anything. And my understanding of melody comes from the thousands and thousands of hours that I've listened to stuff with great melody. Maybe when you watch the audience tonight and hear that the Sting song is probably the song that will get the greatest applause of the entire night, and most people don't know that it's Sting, you might begin to understand how powerful that song is. But then again, maybe not. That's what makes the world go round. But it's not subjective at all.
And perhaps you'd learn to love me, given time. It may not be the warmest that you had in mind, but you could learn to love me, given time.
But we could come to an arrangement, a practical arrangement. and perhaps you could learn to love me, given
Kurt Elling and Branford Marzullis join us at the Bucharest Jazz Festival here on the Checkout from WBGO. And why don't we go with the song that you wrote, Branford, that Kurt applied some lyrics to, Cassandra Song. One of the few originals on this whole session. How does that even fit, because you're covering repertoire from George Gershwin to Sonny Rollins by way of Mark Murphy. Of course, cannot forget Antonio Carlos Jobim, a little more obscure recording by Elis Regina and Tom Jobim. But coming together and creating an original song to be included with all of these others.
The guys in the band felt that that song was good. I was not interested in having any of my songs on this record. Joey played it for Kurt. Kurt wanted to do it. And Kurt says, look, man, I think we should do Cassandra, but I don't want to invest any time writing lyrics if you're going to say no. And I went, fine, write them. I mean, I just, there's a point at which, whatever, because we'll figure it out. And
what do you hear in the song, Kurt?
It's immediately lyrical in the more traditional sense of the word. It immediately opens imaginative doors and announces itself in a way that makes you pay attention, in that way that makes you say, okay, this is something of substance and value. It's coherent, and yet it is completely free and liberated. And it was right in my key, so perfect.
Let me tell you the truth. My soul's a golden flag that flies so far in the boundless blue. I know high up above will be below. Let me tell you the truth. The wings of windy change that will come to you cut me right through. Tell you the truth. Your life will run away from you in moments both quick and smooth. I know fast are the hours and far to you. Let me tell you the truth.
let me tell you the truth.
Kurt Elling and Branford Marzullis join us at the Bucharest Jazz Festival. Well, thank you both for your time. Talking with us and shedding some wisdom on in the background of these songs and I love talking about things in absolutes too. Branford always bringing things.
But they're musical absolutes. They're not, it's like, you know, it's not the sun's gonna rise in the east absolute. That's an absolute. But if you listen to 100 songs, you get a sense of A lot of guys I know, a lot of gals I know, when they listen to music, they tend to listen to things that they're already predisposed to liking. That's kind of the nature of popular music in general. Your opinion about music is based on things that you have already heard and you already like. It's the same thing with food. It's the same thing with people. It's the same thing. But because my musical experiences have been so varied, and I probably have listened to 100,000 songs, you start to hear the commonality in culture. Or I started to. I can't speak about other people. I started to hear the commonality in culture, whether it's Macedonian clarinet players like King Fargus or, you know, Varda, who's a singer from Lebanon, or Beethoven or Mahler or Bird, or, you know, those songs all have an emotional strain in common. And you start to hear these commonalities in sound. And it's very similar to Pretty. Like, Pretty is the same all over the country. Now, when you have people who have allowed them, who have been convinced that pretty is a thing, you know, pretty is this one thing, you know, slim nose, this, that, and the other. But what I noticed when I traveled is that every person that I saw that I thought were handsome or pretty, the people from the country agreed that they were handsome or pretty. And I started to realize, well, yeah, pretty is kind of universal. Like, there's not this new form of pretty. Like, you know, pretty people are pretty. It doesn't mean that the ugly people are ugly. I mean, we keep making these, whatever the thing is, false equivalencies, I think. We keep having these tiered systems. It's just, everybody looks the same. All people are beautiful. Well, no, not all people. Some people are decidedly not beautiful, even when they're pretty or handsome. It's just, but most people are just curious and kind and caring and hip, and you know, there's all these things that music can be about rather than a subset of chord changes or identifying to a style and wearing a uniform that coincides with the style, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, the more music I've listened to, my absolutes are based on my musical experience. They're not, it's not like a scientific absolute, like gravity. Gravity is an absolute, and thank God for that. But yeah, so it's easy to argue about it, but this discussion is always easier when I'm around people who have the same listening pattern that I do. We tend to agree more than not.
Let's go out with something that I think you would probably revere as timeless, as something you did record with Joey Caldarazzo, I believe back in 2010, from the recording Mirth and Melancholy. This is from Brahms, 1852, translated as The Morning One. But you call it the inspiration of how we approach everything as a duo.
I did? Okay.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Cool. Pleasure.
That was awesome.
Pleasure. Thanks.